Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you again and we ask that as we prepare ourselves to hear your word, Father, that you will work in each and every one of our hearts, that you'll soften our hearts, that we will be ready to hear and accept your word. Father, that we will set aside anything that is troubling us, anything that is hassling us, anything that is worrying us. For we are here today, Father, to hear your word, to receive your word. So I pray and ask that as we go into the sermon, into the scripture reading, that you will prepare our hearts and our minds. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the book of John, and I'll be reading John chapter 6, verses 22 to verse 40. And that can be found in the NIV Bible on page 115 in the New Testament. John 6, verses 22 to 40. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Amen. May the Lord truly bless these words to our hearts and to our understanding. As you've seen on the pamphlet, the notice, the topic sermon today is from mountain to mountain, from Mount Moriah to Mount Zion. And you will recall last week, Kokkie's sermon dealt with, I think it was from garden to garden. And today is in actual fact then the second Sunday of this period of Lent leading up to Easter. And I'm not going to, I think we have, and Kokkie did it last week as well, I'm not going to go into the explanation of Lent in a great amount of detail, but obviously It's that period of penance. It's that period of reflection in our lives. It's that period of fasting. And it's also that period of self-confession, of self-denial. And this is what should be happening in this period of Lent. And we prepare over the next 40 days, we prepare obviously for the death and the resurrection of our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also, as I've said, it's about that process of self-denial. And this morning's service, you'll see about that as well when we talk about Abraham at Mount Moriah. It's that self-denial, it's that dying to self and doing God's will. And that is what this morning service is about. Now, we've seen the process and the service or sermon that Cookie did last week as well from the Garden of Eden. And today we're dealing from moving from the Mount Moriah and moving to Mount Zion. And I'm going to get into a bit of more detail about that, but Zion, the New Jerusalem, that is what we are striving for. That is where God is. Now in the book of Revelation, I want to quickly turn to the book of Revelation and just read a passage from Revelation. And I'm going to be reading from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. And in that process, hopefully trying to set the scene of what we're talking about, the New Jerusalem, this new city, this new holy city. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the earth and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" My friends, and when we look at this passage, this is the promise. This is the promise that God is making to us. This is the promise I want to talk about in my sermon today. This is the covenant that God makes with us. That we will be with God in the New Jerusalem, in the new holy city. My friends, it's a better place than where we are on this earth. It is the promised land. It is a life eternal with our living God. It is a place where there is no pain, there's no mourning, there's no crying. How glorious can that be? How absolutely glorious can that be? In my sermon today, I'm going to be focusing on 4 points in this journey from Mount Moriah to Zion. And the 4 points I'd like to cover is, the first one is the challenge. The second point is faith. The third point is the promise of the new covenant. And then the fourth point is the journey that we are on. And the first point, if I look at the first point, which is the challenge, and I just want to read you, and I've not put it on asked for them to put it on slide, but I'd like to just read Genesis, from the book of Genesis, and Cookie read from Genesis as well, and obviously that's where we start the sermon, and that's where it all starts, with Abraham. And I'm going to read Genesis 22, and I'll be reading from verses 1 to 19. And that can be found, it's quite easy actually, on page 22 of the Old Testament, near the front. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. And it's actually headed as Abraham tested. And bear in mind my first point, the challenge. And this is the challenge that Abraham had. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place of God, the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." As I've said, the first heading is the challenge. And if we read this passage, the challenge that God put down to Abraham to take his only son, the son that he so dearly loved, and to offer him as a burnt offering to God. My friends, this is one of the highest and deepest experiences that Abraham had in his experiences with God. God did not want Abraham to rely on his son. How often do we do that? How often do we as man do that? We rely on somebody else. God did not want that. No, God wanted Abraham to rely on him, on God. And as I said right at the beginning, this period of Lent, it's about that sacrifice. It's about doing away with my will. It's about doing away with what I want. This deep experience that Abraham had with God must become our experience. That deep experience must become our experience with God. That's how close we must be with our Heavenly Father. And the question on this particular point that I would like to leave you with, two or three questions, is how are we standing up to God's challenge? How are we standing up to God's expectation? Who or what do we rely on? Do we truly believe God? Where do we find our security in life? Are we finding our security in materialistic things? Or are we finding our security in our Heavenly Father? I leave these questions with you to answer yourselves. The second point that I'd like to cover is faith. If we look at this passage I've just read in Genesis 22, my friends, we read about the absolute faith, that absolute incredible faith that Abraham had in God. It's just incredible to read through that passage again. Abraham completely trusted in God. He completely trusted in the covenant that God made. If we read verses 2 to 8 of Genesis 22 again, God instructs Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. We read there, the next morning Abraham gets up. He takes his son Isaac to the place that God told him about. On the third day, Abraham sees the place. He says to his servants, "The boy and I will go there, and then we will return." In verse 6, we see that Abraham takes the knife, takes the wood, takes the fire as they go to the place that God instructed them to go. In verse 7, we see Isaac asking the question, "But Father, where is the lamb?" In verse 8, we read, Abraham replies, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." My friends, when we look at this passage, at no stage do we see Abraham questioning God. At no stage do we see Abraham showing any sign of doubt. At no stage do we see Abraham hesitating. Abraham follows God's instruction. Abraham does God's will. Abraham does not turn around and say, "But what about my son, God? What about this boy that I so love, that you gave to me in an old age?" Unwavering, unquestioning, absolute belief and faith that Abraham displays on that day. Again, the question I must ask myself, where do I stand when God asks me to make sacrifices? I normally think out 300 excuses why I cannot do something. Why I cannot give God my time, when I cannot give God my full attention. I find excuses. I find reasons not to do it. And I always, when I deal with a passage like this, I always, and I'm probably going to be very worldly about it, and forgive me for a minute if I do that, but I use a movie that many of you may have seen. It's an old movie, but it's called Sophie's Choice, and where Meryl Streep, I think it is, stands in Nazi Germany. She's got two children, a boy and a girl. I haven't seen the movie for many years, but and she's got to make a choice when that German officer says, "You can have one, but the other one must go that way." And I always use that in my mind, and I say, if we were to be asked that question, how will I make that decision? If God asks me that question, I need to sacrifice something that is dear to me, somebody that is dear to me. Will I waver? I probably will, because I'm human. Will I question God? God, how can you expect this from me? God, how can you be so unreasonable? God, why are you punishing me? How many times do we hear that? So, my friends, this is what I get out of this passage: that absolute faith, that absolute belief. As I've said, that unwavering, unquestionable, carrying out of the instruction of God by Abraham. And while we are dealing with faith, just very quickly, the scriptures are full of stories about faith. And I'm not going to go into detail there, time is not going to allow, but if we just turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we see faith in action. We see how it works in real life. We see there in verse 11 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, even though past his age, and Sarah herself barren, was enabled to become a father. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Can you imagine the ridicule, the joking that must have gone on? This man building this ark, for what? But Noah was unwavering in his faith. We carry on, and I'm not going to spend too much time. As I said, time's going to catch me. But we read of Moses, of Joseph, of their absolute acts of faith. We read in verse 30 about the walls of Jericho. After 7 days, by faith, people walked and marched around them, and after the 7 days, the walls collapsed. By faith. And my friends, important in verse 6 of Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is the instruction from our Father. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Despite what I do, despite what I think, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The third point I want to cover is the promise of the new covenant. That's the third point, the promise of the new covenant. And again in Genesis, just very again, briefly referring to it, we saw the covenant that God made in chapter 15 and in chapter 22, that God made with Abraham when God said, to your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. And he carries on to explain and describe the area, the land, the promised land, Canaan, that he's giving to Abraham. And in chapter 22, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, because you have not withheld your son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. That is the covenant that God makes with Abraham in the Old Testament. But my friends, in John chapter 6, verse 40, we read of the new covenant that is made for us and with us. When Jesus tells the crowd, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. What a glorious, incredible promise we have there from our Heavenly Father. How incredible is that? Jesus Christ makes that covenant. And He tells us of the covenant of God. But there is a rider. There's a rider, my friends. It says there, whoever believes in Him. I come back to the previous point of faith, that we must have faith in our Father, that we must believe in our Father. And that with that unwavering belief and faith, we will be saved. This is the promise. That is the incredible covenant that is made for us. But what is incredible? In the same passage that we read, we see there in verse 28, the crowd asks, what must we do to do the works that God require? In verse 29, Jesus answers, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. To believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in me as Jesus is standing there. This is doing the works of God. What amazes me, however, is verse 30. So they asked Him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Jesus Christ is standing there. They've heard of Him, they know of Him. Yet they want this proof. And hey, does this not sound familiar? Do I, as man today, how many times do I not say, I want to see? Do I know God exists? He's done nothing for me. What miracles? I see no miracles. If God exists, we won't have what's nonsense we're finding is happening on this world today. Don't we very often see that? We want to demand from God that he must prove himself. And how wrong we are. It's not for God to prove himself to us. It's not for God to do these miraculous signs that we can believe, oh, okay, God exists. We must have that unquestionable faith. And this is what Jesus is saying here. We must believe in the one who the Father sent to this world. We've, in fact, in this same church, how many times have we actually not heard of witnessing taking place? People witnessing about God's work in their lives. We have experienced in this church miracles. People standing up here telling us about things that have happened. And very often we miss this. We just simply miss it because we want something more powerful. But it's happening. It's happening all around us in this world. We must seek God. We must seek his word. And God is the bread of life. We read that in that passage. And we must seek our Heavenly Father. Because we are all striving for eternal life, my friends. I've said it in a previous sermon as well. We may think 70, 80, 90 years old in worldly terms, but it's nothing. It's nothing in terms of the promise that we have of eternal life with our Heavenly Father. Our life on this earth is nothing in comparison to eternal life. And we read it in verse 47 of John 6. When Jesus says in verse 47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. How glorious. How absolutely glorious is that? And then the last point that I want to cover is the journey that we are on. We saw Abraham's journey starting at Mount Moriah. It was a journey that started where he had to sacrifice his son. But we saw that journey end in victory for Abraham. Because Abraham placed God first. Abraham placed God above everything and everyone else. Even his own Isaac, his dear beloved son that he had. And Abraham's journey from Mount Moriah eventually moved to Mount Zion. That was the journey that Abraham was on. That is the journey that each and every one of us must be on. In the same way as Abraham had that spiritual experience with his Heavenly Father, we must experience that same spiritual experience. We need to move from Mount Moriah to Mount Zion. Zion, which refers to God's spiritual kingdom. Zion, which is synonymous with the city of God, which we read in Revelations, the New Jerusalem, the holy city. That is what we must be seeking. That is where we must be moving on this journey of ours to. Because you see, friends, what happens is it is God who initiates our salvation. It is God that calls us. It is God that draws us to himself. It is God that brings us to his good land. He appears to us. God calls us to go to Mount Moriah. And God provides for us as he provided for Abraham. In Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 23. But you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, That is our goal. That's what we want. That's what our journey must be about. We will join Abraham to worship God on the eternal Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies, the place where God is. That is where we want and must be forever. So my friends, in closing, this journey of ours is a deeply personal one. It's a personal journey that we have with God. And God calls us. God calls each and every one of us at some stage in our lives to offer up our Isaac, whoever or whatever that may be. God calls us to offer up our Isaac. And as we see, God will supply, God will provide. But importantly, my friends, is that we, each and every one of us, must be willing to take up that journey. Each and every one of us must be willing to hear his voice, to hear his calling, to offer up our Isaac, and to venture on that journey. Amen. Come, let us pray. Our dear Lord Jesus, Father, thank you. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your message, Father, because this is your message. It's not our words. It is your absolute message to us. And we thank you and we pray and ask, Father, that as we leave here this morning, oh, Father, that we will open our hearts and our minds and we'll hear your word, because we know you are calling us. But so very often we are so busy with worldly things that we do not hear you. Or maybe even just blatantly ignore you, Father. So I pray and ask that you'll be with each and every one, that you will call us to our Mount Moriah. Father, that we will be open and prepared to journey with you. Because yes, Father, each and every one of us wants to be with you in the New Jerusalem, in the new city, the Holy of Holies, where there is no pain, no tears, no mourning. So I thank you. We thank each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, for your words and for your message. And dear Lord Jesus, I pray and ask that you'll be with this church, that you'll be with this congregation. Oh, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless each and every one of us. Father, and as we have some people celebrating birthdays this coming week, that you will be with them during or on their day of their birth. And Father, that on that particular day, even more so, that they will draw nearer to you and to the blessings that you bestow upon them. And Father, we pray and ask that you'll also be with those members of our congregation who are suffering, be it with physical pain, be it with emotional pain, Father. And we may not know each and every case. But Father, you know. You know each and every one of us. And we pray that you will strengthen each and every one of us, Father, during these difficult times, that you'll place your hand of comfort over us. Our Heavenly Father, in particular, we pray that you'll be with Sheila Sawiski tomorrow as she goes in for a hip operation. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that you will guide her, that you'll be with her, that you'll strengthen her. Father, and that she will know that she is not alone, but that you are with her. That you'll be with the medical doctor performing the operation. Father, that you'll comfort her during the time of pain. But very importantly, Father, that she will know that you are carrying her through the operation. Father, and then we pray and ask that you'll be with this country of ours as we see new things happening, as we see changes. And Heavenly Father, those are the sort of stuff that is bringing fear into our hearts, which is driving us away from you. Let us not fear, dear Lord God. Let us not fear what's happening. Let us not be scared of what's happening, because you are in control, despite what people may think. Despite what politicians think, that they are so fantastic. No, Father, you are in control. You are leading them. And then, Father, we pray and we thank you. We thank you for the rain that you have given us over the past few months, for blessing us, Father, and we pray that you will still take mercy and pity on us. And Father, that you will bless us with more rain, much needed rain. Heavenly Father, that you'll be with the people in the Cape as well, who are also battling. But that you will take mercy and pity on us and bless us with some rain. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. We pray this in your glorious and holy name. Amen.